live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is already a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We got a whole lot to do today. We got two guests coming up in this first hour. Christian Benford from the Buffalo Bills just signed earlier this offseason a four-year, $76 million contract with the Buffalo Bills to stay with Bills Mafia. He's going to join us 20 minutes from now. Hot Take Hickey, Ryan Hickey, will be joining us in studio 40 minutes from now at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. A whole lot to do, so let's start it off. And we'll do so with the association. So last night, you saw the Indiana Pacers have another moment. The Indiana Pacers going to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals should be something that we celebrate and is a tremendous accomplishment. And also, I think it's time for a lot of us to acknowledge, if you haven't already done so, that Tyrese Haliburton has been so good for them. And the fact that it was in April, The Athletic came out, and The Athletic ended up saying from an anonymous player poll that Tyrese Haliburton was the most overrated player in the league, well, that ended up being one big fat lie and one big fat joke. Because he has taken the Indiana Pacers to, and I don't care if you want to make excuses and say, oh, the Cavs got hurt, oh, the Knicks got hurt. It doesn't matter. You play who is on the court. And in the last 2 years, Tyrese Haliburton has got his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. And last year, he got hurt when they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So hopefully he can get a good bill of health for this year. So everyone could chime in and everyone could say how utterly ridiculous it was that the players, right? This wasn't media being dopey, which we could be. This wasn't, anonymous executives. This was a player poll. I think it was 90 players. And Tyrese Haliburton had the highest percentage of votes to be the most overrated player in the league. And that is ridiculous. Because, right, you look at a team like the Indiana Pacers, there are stars and there are superstars. Let me be clear. Do I think Tyrese Haliburton is a superstar? No. But he's their number one star on a team. And when you look at usual number one stars that you think competing for a championship, you think of someone of the caliber of a LeBron, of a Kevin Durant, of a Steph Curry, of a Nikola Jokic, of a Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Kawhi Leonard, Tim Duncan, teams that have won championships, let's just say, in the last 20 years. Kobe Bryant, right? Shaquille O'Neal. When you go through the list of teams that have won championships in the last 25, 30 years or so. And there are some outliers, some years where a team wins a championship and you're like, it's not the most star-studded lineup. But when Tyrese is your number one and the way he makes everyone around him better, the fact that Indiana could get to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals is pretty cool. And you say to yourself, are there limitations on the Pacers? Right? Like, if I tell you right now, Stu, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Thunder, and let's say the Minnesota Timberwolves are your four teams remaining. Because that's probably the collision course that we're on. Where OKC is now up 3-2 up against Denver last night. It is criminal. You ever see, I'll use a soccer reference. You ever see that video of the soccer coach? I think it may be high school. I don't know what it is. A foreign soccer coach where he walks into the locker room at halftime of a game and he starts smacking every player. You know, I know Samter and Stu, they're big soccer guys, right? So I'll make a soccer analogy so we can all get on the same page. Nikola Jokic last night, after he made that three, that was one of the most acrobatic threes that I've ever seen. I have tried that at a gym. Now, I haven't hit it, but we have all done that like old man, just, look off balance, throw up a three, right? Oh, it goes in. Or you think it goes in, but it doesn't actually go in. Nikola Jokic last night, he put that shot up with basically a second left on the shot clock. No one thought it was going in, and he's the only player in the league that could make a shot like that, where it's so unorthodox, where it is so ugly, but it is so sweet. And when he made that shot, which I think it did tie up the game, I'm thinking to myself, can anyone on the Nuggets stand up and help out the Joker? Jamal Murray? No. Aaron Gordon? No. Michael Porter Jr.? No. Christian Braun? No. No one else on that team. They just had one guy that had a pulse on that team last night outside of Nikola Jokic. They would have done what I thought they were going to do. Go into OKC, win that game five, and take the 3-2 series lead. It is not even close right now. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. But no one on that team had any interest in helping him last night. So the Joker should have been able to go into that locker room after the game and been like that soccer coach and just slap every one of his teammates. And maybe the Joker's actually happy that his team's about to be going home because now he can go back to where he's from and go play with his horses. So that wouldn't shock me. But Stu, what I was going to ask you, if you look at the four teams that are probably going to the conference finals, the Pacers are already in, the Timberwolves on the verge of going, the Thunder on the verge of going, and the Knicks on the verge of going. In terms of the team that could go on and win the championship that you least envision it with, would you say that the Pacers are the one out of those four that you least envision them not only getting to the NBA Finals, but then winning the championship as well?
Yeah, I would probably pick the team out west to win it. So that would leave the Pacers and Knicks, and I think I would favor the Knicks over the Pacers. So yes, I think the Pacers are the least likely.
Yeah, if those are the four, I would say Thunder are one. I would then give the slight edge two to the Timberwolves, even though I think the Knicks could get to the finals and beat the Timberwolves. And I think the Pacers could get to the finals and beat the Timberwolves. But I would say that the Timberwolves are two, the Knicks are three, and the Pacers are four. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe a team like the Pacers, if they have a limitation of like how the Heat had a limitation with Jimmy Butler, where you could get to the finals twice, but you know that you're probably not going to win the championship. Either way, what Tyrese Halliburton has done, let's not rain on his parade today. It is magnificent. He deserves the moment. And you know what? I'll even take it a step further. I heard him on McAfee earlier. I kind of feel bad for his dad now. I don't think people would expect me to say this because I said that his dad was a big dummy and his dad was a big jackass. Right, for what he did with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I stand by that. And he's lucky that Giannis Antetokounmpo in that moment didn't just throw a punch and a big left hook or a big right hook right in the face of Halliburton's father, because I think we all would have been fine with that. I think we all would have been good with that. I would have had zero problem if that's how Giannis Antetokounmpo would have responded. But could you imagine? Your kid is now off to the Eastern Conference Finals. You were banned for all the second round, and you have a ban on you for the foreseeable future of going to Pacers games to watch your kid, your son, in the Eastern Conference Finals and then maybe the NBA Finals. Like, I understand if Stu ran on the court and if Stu ran up to Giannis Antetokounmpo, everyone would be like, Stu should be banned for life. If he did what Halliburton's father did. So I guess you should be held to the same standard, but you don't hold, right, a player's father to the same standard where he shouldn't do that and he should know better. But is he really not going to be able to go to these games for the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe the NBA Finals? Like, part of me says, okay, you made him sit out this round. Let him back in the building. And if he ever does something even remotely close, or even a quarter close to what he did at the end of that Milwaukee Bucks series, then there's no other opportunity. Then he's banned for life. But you look at the four teams potentially remaining, right? I think at this point we all agree the Knicks are going to win this series up 3-1. We know that the Pacers are already through. You look at the other two teams, I would imagine, hey, I understand OKC is up 3-2. I know Nikola Jokic is by far and away the best player in the league. Even with how great Nikola Jokic was last night, it still wasn't good enough because that team is not built properly. You know, maybe there were moments last night where they missed Michael Malone as the coach, but what is looking to age well and age correctly is that Calvin Booth could have put together a better team to support the Joker in Nikola Jokic. So could the Joker have an all-time great performance in game 6 and 7 and come on back in this series? Yes, but I would anticipate the Thunder getting to the Western Conference Finals. And then also, you have no Steph Curry for game 5. We'll see if he'll even return for a game 6. If you're Minnesota, and I know you have played with your food a lot so far in this postseason, especially in this series where you're, yes, I know you're up 3-1, but you lost game 1. There's moments even when you won, you haven't looked all that impressive. I would not play with my food tonight. I would issue the kill shot tonight. When you have a chance, right? Like, you're a sniper, you shoot to kill. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they need to shoot to kill tonight. Because if you shoot and you miss, and that dude Steph Curry is not even locked, that'll be back for game 6. But if he gets on the court in game 6 and he wins that game 6, then a lot of people are going to be looking at you and saying all the pressure is on you for a game 7. You know, I'm not comparing it directly. Remember when the Red Sox came on back against the Yankees back in 04? Right, Stu and Santer, you guys as Yankee fans obviously remember that. Kevin Millar was seen on the field before game 4 when they were talking about, oh, how do you come on back from down 3-0 and all that. And he goes, don't let us win this one tonight. Don't let us win this one tonight. If Steph comes back for game 6, like, that's the let us not win this one tonight. So we'll see if the Timberwolves can find a way to say goodbye and wave goodbye to the Golden State Warriors. But, yeah, if I'm being honest with you, I do anticipate the Minnesota Timberwolves to go on to win that series up 3-1. And if you look at it, the lay of the land, if the Eastern Conference Finals is the Pacers and the Knicks, and the Western Conference Finals is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder, folks, it's not even close. The pressure to win a championship is by far and away on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then after that, I would say the most amount of pressure is on Anthony Edwards, just because last year he got to a Western Conference Finals. So many people were saying, oh, the Timberwolves are going to the NBA Finals. And then you saw Luka Doncic when he was on the Dallas Mavericks before Nico Harrison did something so idiotic and traded him. You saw Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving get the Mavs to the NBA Finals. But it's kind of fascinating when you look at this era now of the NBA. Because, right, for the last, like, 15 years, you knew LeBron, KD, or Steph Curry was going to be winning an NBA championship. And, right, you had a few years where Kawhi, right, won 2 championships. You had the end of the Spurs run with Tim Duncan. But you then look at the next 2 best players that were, like, in that younger tier that won league MVPs. And it was, can they win a championship? Well, Giannis did, and Nikola Jokic did. Now there's, like, a younger wave, though, and you have a lot of younger stars all in different levels. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Donovan Mitchell went home last night. Jalen Brunson is still playing. Tyrese Halliburton, who's still playing. Ant Edwards, who could be the next face of the league, right, still playing. And if that's the 4 teams remaining, you will have a new star win a championship. Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's never won a championship before. Ant Edwards has never won a championship before. Talk about in the NBA. Jalen Brunson has never won a championship before in the NBA. And neither has Tyrese Halliburton. But who would have thought before the playoffs started? If you would have told me one of Boston or the Cavs would have gone down, okay, believable. The fact that they're, one has already gone down, the other one is on the verge of going down, and even if they get through, they won't have Jason Tatum. That is, it's inconceivable that we're going to have the Eastern Conference Finals, and in all likelihood, it will not feature the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers. Out in the West, I was very confident with OKC. I didn't know who else would get there. And once the Timberwolves got through up against the Los Angeles Lakers, I think that sent the message, oh, yeah, people forget what we just did a year ago. And people were sleeping on us because we weren't dominant in the regular season, even though we were nowhere close to being terrible. So, yeah, I look at those 4 potential teams. It is clear now, especially after taking a 3-2 lead, and you got to finish out the Nuggets first. Pressure to win a title when you're going to have the Celtics potentially out by tonight. You already have the Cavs out. It's easily on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Anything short of a championship for them this year would be a giant, giant disappointment when you've been the number one seed the last 2 years in the Western Conference. Alrighty, we will take a break. When we come on back, Christian Benford is a tremendous story from Villanova, ended up being a six-round pick, and now is a highly compensated cornerback in this league. Four-year deal, $76 million this past offseason, plays for the Buffalo Bills. Bills, one of those teams that have been knocking on the door the last few years. Can they punch through? Can they get to a Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl? We chatted up with Christian Benford next, right here on the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. All righty, welcome back in. It is Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What a story Christian Benford has become. He was a six-round draft pick in the 2022 NFL draft out of Villanova. He was drafted by the Bills, has been with the Bills for his entire career, and he's turned into a kick-ass corner in this league, and a few months ago was rewarded with a four-year contract worth $76 million, and Christian is kind enough to join us right now. Christian, first and foremost, congratulations on the new deal. I know it's been a while, but we do appreciate you coming on today.
Nah, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so when you finally put that pen to paper and you signed that contract and you got to get up from that chair, what was it feeling like when you knew that you were going to be staying in Buffalo with a lot of extra money going into your bank account?
Yeah, I was honestly feeling blessed, very appreciative of the position I'm in. And during that moment, I was just like so much appreciation, so much joy. And I was just thinking, God, I got the opportunity to be there.
I love a story like yours where you go to Villanova, right? You end up becoming a six-round draft pick, and the hard work eventually gets recognized, and it pays off, and you've turned into a really good football player. Kind of take me through the journey, how all this became possible from Nova to the early days of the NFL to now the person that we're talking to today.
Really, it was just like my relationship with God. It got stronger throughout the years. I continued to pursue God and lean on my team because I couldn't do it by myself. I had a lot of resources, coaches that believed in me, like some pastors that would help me with the word, understand the word of God and where to go and the wisdom and how to read the Bible and how to understand God, what he likes, what it's like to be a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those moments impacted me to every step of the way, because without those resources, without those talks about God, without those Bible studies, I don't think it would be possible for me to be here, honestly. And obviously my family and having the great, great individuals in my corner, because it do help when you have the right people around you. I do kind of do believe that like your environment does have an impact on who you are and how you become, due to the fact that your environment can push you to be better or it can hinder you in your mindset. It can teach you, your environment can teach you, or it can decay you. So a lot of that kind of ties into who I am today.
Christian Benford here with us from the Buffalo Bills. You know, you may have said growing up, hey, you wanted to play in the NFL, but with this journey and this road that you've traveled on, when did you start to feel like that was a reality, that not only do you want to play football and you're good at it, but you could go on to maybe be a good player at the next level?
I always believed. I always had faith, but honestly, once I got to the league is when I like realized, 'cause I was always humble. I'm a realist at the end of the day. I believe since I was in Pop Warner, and I can make it. I just kept working hard, but I wasn't there yet, so I didn't want to sit here and be like, "Yeah, I could do this. I'm gonna make it to the league." You know what I'm saying? Anything can happen. God can humble you, or God can say that's just not my path. So I just kept working and kept believing. Well, obviously, once I got to the league, I was like, "Yeah, I could do this. Like, I believe I'm at where I fit. I fit where I'm at."
You know, just wondering, when you were growing up as a kid, were there a few football players that you admired? Or was there a team that you grew up supporting?
Honestly, I'm from Baltimore, so the Ravens. And I didn't admire nobody. I felt like I wanted to be the one that everybody admired. I wanted to be a difference maker, someone to impact somebody's life for the better, just off of my actions. Because I don't really talk too much I feel like action speaks louder than words anyway. But some people that I obviously majorly grew up watching was like Harry Reid, Ray Lewis, you know, Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and all them. But yeah, I never really not admire nobody. It was, I wanted to be the one to admire, like just to help other people, but not for like the pedestal or for the my name this, my name is that. Just to be the one to admire so that I can help kids to like better themselves for their future.
And I know you do a lot of charity work. You know, tell me about some of the work that you do, not only in your hometown community, but also probably in the Buffalo community as well.
Yeah. So I do a lot of donations to like the Buffalo City Mission. I love to just drive around some days and just give care packages to the homeless. I'm also helping out with donations to like foster carers out here in Buffalo. I have a guy out in Baltimore. He does the Baltimore Homeless Project and just helping as much as I can. He does great by himself, but I try to help as much as I can because that's just something I'm passionate about. I have a foundation called 47 Hearts. That's where we try to raise money, obviously, to help, again, homeless, foster care systems, homeless shelters with that have, like, single moms with their children, because it's tough already being a single mom. And just any way that we could help them with shelter, upraise the kids in the predicament that they're in. Food, giving out the food to anybody. So that's all my foundation is looking for you. And that's a lot of my book proceeds go to. That you can get my book on ChristianBenford.com. But my book, like some of the proceeds go to my foundation where we raise money to help those individuals. But yeah, I just always have a heart for it. And I just feel like the world is tough as is. And there could be different makers out there that can help those people that's having a tough road. You know, sometimes it's not their fault. It's just the cards that they're dealt and the way society is nowadays, sad to say. But individuals like us can make a difference. We can help.
And, you know, it's almost contagious giving back, as Christian Benford's here with us. Just in the Bills locker room, like, I'm very close friends with Deion Dawkins, who went to college together. You know, I know what he does to give back to the community. We obviously know the impact that DeMar Hamlin has had on many people's life with what he's been through. It seems like that's a real close-knit locker room in Buffalo, where obviously you guys are teammates, your brothers, but you also make it a point of emphasis to really, you know, give back and do a lot of charitable work.
Yeah, we all just got the heart for it, the heart and the love to help other individuals.
What is it like for you to see what DeMar Hamlin has been able to do the last few years with what he had to recover from? And then we know he got back 2 years ago, but the season he had this year was truly unbelievable with how he was able to play on the field.
Yeah, I'm proud of him. I see what he goes through behind closed doors and see how much work he puts in. So it's a blessing that he's able to be in this predicament and what he came to be. It's not easy to do what he did. It's not easy to do what he's doing right now. So I'm happy for him, and I always try to tell him that I'm proud of him just because I am, not just because just so he could hear it, but just so I could like let him know that like I'm really proud of you, and you should be proud of yourself for being at where you are from where you came from.
Christian Benford here with us for a few more minutes of the Zach Gelb Show. From the Buffalo Bills, signed that big 4-year, $76 million contract this offseason. The schedule comes out tonight. I know it's already getting leaked left and right if you go online today. But is there an opponent that you maybe have circled when the schedule comes out that you're going to be rushing to see when you end up playing them?
Nah, not really. I don't really be getting into all that. I'm just...
I'll tell you, I look at your schedule, the home schedule, it's something. Not only got division teams, you got the Ravens, you got the Bengals, you got the Bucks, you got the Eagles, and also the Chiefs. I know a lot of people are going to circle that Chiefs game for you. You guys have beat them the regular season. You haven't been able to get the job done, obviously, in the postseason. What do you say to maybe the Bills fan that's like, man, you guys have been so good for the last few years, but you keep on coming up short up against the Chiefs in the playoffs? Why should they still believe in this group that you guys could one day beat Kansas City come the postseason?
Because belief is going to take us there. That's why, and we're not we're never the same team. We always growing from the last year or the last year, the previous year, finding ways to be better. So belief is what's going to take us all the way there.
You feel like this team it's got to be like, you guys feel like you're right on the verge of breaking through, right?
Yep.
And obviously you have a great quarterback in Josh Allen. What is it like when you're able to see what Josh is able to do week in and week out as he just won the MVP of the NFL this past year?
Yeah, it's awesome to witness that firsthand and for him to be on our team. He's a great individual and a great ball player.
I want to ask you, two more things I'll ask you, Christian Benford, before we let you run. Villanova, take me through your recruiting process and how you ended up landing, picking to go play at Villanova.
Honestly, I was just going to a lot of the football camps and only had two offers and zero stars. I had Morgan State and them. And the DB coach there was really cool. And I was big on, like, backup plans because, you know, football don't last forever. It can make a difference in your life, but don't last forever. So I wanted to make it where, like, I have something to hold my hat on when I'm done with this. And Villanova is a great nursing school, business school, has many connections. It's known for its academics. So I took it. And it's just for a scholarship. They had to pay for it. So why not, as a kid that only has two offers and zero stars? You know, and I've seen other people make it from the FCS level. And not just seeing that, but I believed I could have done it. You know what I'm saying? Just belief, just like I said before, belief take you far. So
you always had that belief, like you said. But when you hear it, zero stars, two offers, Villanova, six-round pick, now you have this huge contract. Is it a little still surreal just how quickly you were able to accomplish these things and end up making it in the NFL?
Yeah, it is surreal. I try not to, like, look at it too much because I'm still in it. But I do be grateful to God, give my thanks to God. But other than that, I don't look outside of appreciation to God. Let's keep it at that. I don't do nothing else with it.
So off of that, how do you view yourself right now as a player? And when you're fully, you know, at your apex and you've reached all your full potential, what do you think Christian Benford can really look like on a football field?
A game changer. MVP.
MVP. I like that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Not just defensive player of the year, MVP. I love that answer. All right, last question, most important one. Where do you get your wings in Buffalo?
My wings? I ain't going to lie to you. That's tough because it depends. It depends because I be Uber Eats. I ain't going to lie. I be Uber Eats.
You're not waiting in line at Barbill is what you're telling me.
I might, but, like, if I have a family here, I go to Barbell. But if I want to, like, Uber Eats, I do America's Best Wings. Because, like, from in Baltimore, that's what we got, America's Best Wings. And that's, like, we do, like, chicken boxes or America's Best Wings. So when I came here, I saw they got America's Best Wings, so I took it. I was like, yeah.
Gotcha. I would say you should test out some of those local Buffalo spots. That's just me, you know. You're a blue cheese guy, right? You're not a ranch guy, right?
I'm certified ranch, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. What is up with you guys on the Bills? Deion Walker, your new teammate, he's a ranch guy as well. We're having a tremendous conversation. Now you're a ranch guy, Christian Benford. You just ruined the whole conversation.
Yeah, blue cheese, I don't know. I don't do too much cheese, honestly. That's
why. All righty. Well, I'll talk to Deion. We will get you to Barbill with some big blue cheese, and we'll make sure that we get you taken care of. But, Christian, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
There he is, Christian Benford, joining us on the show. What a fun story. 4 years, $76 million contract, out of Villanova, no stars, two offers, and now a tremendous cornerback in the NFL and got rewarded this past offseason by the Buffalo Bills. Let's take a break. Hot Take Hickey joins us in the studio next. Update time first. Here's Zach. The piping hot takes of Ryan Hot Take Hickey do not, I repeat, do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's Hick at Night Sunday. I'm combing our hair with moose gel and spray. The takes are so hot, hot, hot. Sometimes it's right, usually not. This best segment is coming up next, but you better watch out for the Hickey head. Hot takes with hair gel on a Sunday night. Hickey's dropping taste that probably aren't right. Dropping a tease. teaser for what's coming up next. But you better watch out for the Hickey Hicks. Talking Penn State while Stu's smoking Kush. But Hickey is always the number one rush. You were nicer and more smug and more sober than Stu. We only joke of us, we like you. But I have to ask, is it true? Is your hair held together by Pace and Luke? Oh, Hickey's takes are coming up next. But you better watch out for the Hickey Hicks.
Alrighty, this is Zach Yelp's show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, it's been a big theme around here these days that if people take vacation, you call them out for it, especially when they shouldn't be taking vacation. So Boomer Esiason, there was a big article about it. He was saying, Dave Sims, first year on the job as the voice of the New York Yankees, shouldn't be taking a vacation and missing a weekend series up against the Sacramento, Oakland Athletics, whatever you want to call them. And that made a few national headlines. So, not that it's on the same scale, but Ryan Hot Take Hickey just got a new job as the executive producer of the Bill Reiner Show. He also just moved his show from 10 p.m. To 2 a.m. Eastern time on Sundays to Sunday afternoons from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. So working his way on up into hours that people are actually like awake and alert and attentive.
Conscious,
and
sober.
Now they could really hear just the horrible takes. I remember the horrible takes of Hot Take Hickey. And I went to go tune in on Sunday. Was all jacked up. All right, my guy, Hot Take Hickey, teammate guy, Zach Gelb, you know, locker room leader around here. Just going to bat and just going to really support my guy, Hot Take Hickey. And you weren't there.
That's right.
So where were you?
I was en route home from a wedding over the weekend.
En route home.
That's
where
correct.
Was this wedding?
In New Jersey.
South Jersey?
I guess technically North Jersey, but I just drove straight west.
Was there a brunch or anything on that Sunday?
There was a little bit of an early brunch, yes.
Okay. What time that brunch end?
I mean, it was not official. Just we stayed at a giant house, had bagels. Left probably
11:30
a.m. Eastern.
North Jersey.
That's
we're
right.
345 Hudson Street in New York City. You couldn't get in here for a 2 to 6 show?
Well, it's not that I couldn't get in. It was a few things, moving parts. Number one, with the show, like you said, moving up times, I said, okay, with this wedding, I would like to still do the show, but also being Mother's Day, I'm like, oh, we had Mother's Day brunch planned
a month ago,
not knowing the show was going to change. It was at 2:30. I said, oh, perfect. I'll reach out. I'll change the time of my show from 2 p.m. to 10 a.m.
Celebrate Mother's Day on Sunday.
And then
Sunday
all of a sudden, I was like,
Monday.
Oh, I got the wedding, and I didn't drive. When my friends drove, I said, instead of asking, switching, and screwing someone out of a shift, after I already asked to switch.
Not good enough.
I said, can I just have some coverage for last Sunday?
Ask me what I did on Sunday.
What'd you do on Sunday?
I hosted on WFAN in New York City. And I was told 3 days before, I had Mother's Day plans, and I moved my Mother's Day plans from lunch to dinner. That's what I did. You could have done dinner with Mama Hickey. You could have. Just saying, new show, you announce it, and then the first week after you announce the new show, you're not there. It's not a good look.
Some things come up. What can I say? Something
Dave
can't be moved.
Sims and Ryan Hickey. Whew. Not a good look these days for either of you.
I will be here for a while. That's all I got to say. And
did,
now
did you take off on Friday with Bill?
Yes.
So you're a Friday with Bill.
That's
that
right.
Show ends at noon.
Well, I'm in the wedding. At rehearsal
the
dinner.
Wedding?
Well, the show ends at noon. My responsibilities don't end at noon.
No, you
I have
can
other
get
responsibilities.
Out of here at
noon. I have minutes. I have to podcast, tweet out, you know, pull stuff from Bill's show.
What time is rehearsal dinner in North Jersey?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock rehearsal dinner?
Yeah.
Has anyone in the history of the world ever heard of a 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner? It's a rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, but sometimes you do the dinner first, drinks.
Who does dinner at 3 o'clock? What is this? Your grandmother was getting married? Is early bird special?
I liked it. I was hungry.
3 o'clock? I don't know. I got to investigate. I'm going to send Stu. Stu's going to be snooping around North Jersey, going to be calling up that restaurant on
Snoop
Friday.
And Stu. That's going to be a good segment. I like to send him out each week and investigate. We have Pablo Torre finds out, and now we have Snoop and Stu.
See, I'm like just like teasing with you here, but now I'm getting serious. No one has a 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner. I want to see this invitation. 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner?
Okay, sure.
No chance you were at dinner at 3 o'clock. You're lying to my
face. I'm not lying to your face. We left early.
After
morning.
We hung out for a while. Our close relationship. You're not lying to my face. A 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner. You were eating dinner at 3 o'clock.
We probably weren't eating. I don't know what time it was. I don't know. It was around
6 o'clock.
It was afternoon time.
You'd be a terrible witness. But if I ever committed a crime and I needed a witness and I went to Hickey, I'd be in jail.
If you're trying to guilt me into missing a show in the first week of a new job, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
Life happens.
I've missed Thanksgivings. I've missed holidays. You know, I'm just saying.
You're a great guy, and I'm not.
No, I'm not saying you're a bad guy.
Simple
just
as that.
The work ethic.
I have no qualms about it.
The work ethic.
Hey, it's a wedding. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, I'm tired. I've been waking up new early, new schedule. Longest I need Friday off.
Friday wedding. No, Friday rehearsal dinner, Saturday night wedding?
Correct.
Okay. You could have worked on Friday and got out of here at 1 o'clock and made your 3 o'clock rehearsal.
Well, again, it's, you know.
Hold on. Saturday, if you had something, totally get it. It's a good friend's wedding, you take off. If the wedding was in Florida or something like that, okay, I get it. You don't make it back for Sunday. When the wedding is on Saturday, Dunzo, you were probably back in the city if you didn't have this lunch for Mother's Day at what? 12 o'clock? 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock, 1:30 with traffic. I mean,
could have got her too.
I will say, not to pat myself
on the
back,
I've had a
Friday wedding earlier in the wintertime, and I was back for Sunday's show. So, you know, I think my work ethic cannot be questioned. Just this weekend, it didn't work out timing-wise, schedule-wise, a few moving parts.
Once again,
I lost some things in the shuffle, I will admit.
I'm not saying you can't take off. You can't use your vacation. What I'm saying is, when you just announced the brand new time slot, the first week, then you're trying to build a rapport with a new audience, and you're not there.
But again, it's not like it was
you
like last
waited a
minute.
Week. You should have just said, "Oh, I'm filling in this week," and then
I mean, I still don't have a new show name, so it's not. I mean, I didn't really put a big tweet out that it's like I technically.
You did.
To be fair to myself, no, I tweeted Bill's show. I technically have not announced my
new
Sunday show
on the air. I was listening.
Well.
You did.
I mean,
just
sure.
Take it out.
It's
you can take
the
it
new
out.
Time slot. The new show name has yet to be officially announced.
Which sources tell me what you suggested to management. Management was not happy about, and they one manager in particular may have been in the newsroom yesterday saying the Hot Take Hickey show.
Oh boy,
is under consideration.
It's not under consideration in my view.
Well, don't worry. You'll announce it and you'll take off the next week anyway.
Well, I may take off permanently if it's the Hot Take Hickey show.
No, you wouldn't. You're not turning down the money. Let's be real. A lot of people say they're going to turn down the money. You don't turn down the money when it's off.
No, listen.
And the on-air shift.
I'm Trey Hendrickson.
Now you got an ego.
I may.
You're insufferable.
I may not participate in the show if it's not the name I want.
Okay. Then you won't host that ever again. That's simple. And I know you want to host. So.
That's true.
You have no leverage.
Why are you undercutting my own leverage? I don't have many to begin with. I want to try to at least pretend like I do.
Because you lied to me.
I did not lie.
3 o'clock rehearsal dinner?
Bus picked us up at 3 o'clock. It's all the same. It was far away.
What was it, the early bird special at like a Bubby's and Boca or something? Jeez.
Bubby's and Boca.
What are we doing? All right. Are you happy with the Knicks?
I am. Extremely surprised and extremely happy.
Well, I have some audio. This is why the Knicks are on the verge of winning this series. This was on Wednesday last week. So the Knicks were up, what, 1-0?
1-0. Game 2 was a week ago.
Yeah. So they were up 1-0.
Going into game 2.
Let's just hear the audio on why the Knicks, in all likelihood, are going to be advancing to the conference finals. Where's your confidence real quickly that the Knicks are going to win this series up against the Celtics?
Out of what scale? 10?
Yeah, sure.
A 1.
A 1? The only thing that does not make that the ultimate Hickey Hex. And this is the reverse mush. You did a good job.
No.
Is if you would have said 0. Because there is nothing more that I enjoy in sports talk radio right now. When I tune into my radio, when Hickey is actually working and not announcing a new show and then not showing up the next week, and he goes, there's no shot, no way that this happens. It's one of my favorite things that you end up doing.
I got a lot of conviction. I love to dig my heels in and not move. Go down with the ship.
I'm just reading something from General Bob in Nevada. Zach Gelb, Hot Take Hickey rarely smiles. Get that man to smile. Hickey has a great smile, by the way. At newspapers, the sports staff is labeled the department. Not serious news. Fun time. I think you smile a lot.
Not.
I don't know. I think I smile
all the time.
I think you're usually a happy kid outside of the fact where you're crying in the bathroom here at the show every time you get a wrong prediction. But I usually think that, you know, that you're a happy kid.
I like to think I'm an optimist.
I think
delusional.
The reason why he's not smiling on the show is because you're always insulting him and making fun of his bad predictions. That's why he's not smiling.
There you go.
Let's be real. Let's walk around this newsroom. Who treats people right around here? Is it Zach or is it Santa? We'll do an anonymous poll.
Who treats like people around the newsroom nicely, period?
I've had a lot of part-timers reach out to me, and I still stay in contact with them. They're no longer here. They're like, I always love the way that you treated me. Can't say the same for all the rest of the hosts.
Wow.
Just say, you know. A lot of people like me around there.
I don't get those texts. I feel like I'm optimistic. I'm positive.
I think you're good with the with the people that are training. I think you're very good.
I like to think so. I guess clearly enough, I don't get these affirmative texts every week.
I don't know if you're training them well, but I think you're doing. I think you do a good job. Wow. You know, I'm a big supporter of yours, but we're busting balls. We're having fun. You know, it's life would be so boring if I just sat here and was like, "Oh, Hickey, you're the greatest. You're unbelievable. You're the best host I've ever heard." Take all your vacation, you know, get 50 weeks out of the year.
Now we're talking.
50 shows don't even show up. You still get paid. Don't worry.
Now we're talking.
Oh, my God.
Sign up for that.
Yeah, you don't have the work ethic like Shep. Shep didn't miss a show on Sunday. He was at his grandmother's house. He was whispering into the microphone.
Shep has literally run the New York City Marathon and run right into a show.
Yeah, he stunk, by the way, that day.
Wow.
Oh, my God. But Shep, did you hear Shep on Sunday?
I did not.
Was whispering into the microphone. Was visiting his grandmother, doing the house from his grandmother's house, first segment, and Shep is a soft speaker to begin with, whispering because he didn't want to wake his grandmother up. He didn't miss the show.
He did the show from grandma's house.
He did not miss the show.
And whispered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He didn't lie to me like you did.
That is dedication.
I have a 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner. A 3 o'clock rehearsal dinner.
Just say
you took off for a wedding and I would have been fine with it.
I did say that. I said it right from the beginning. If the bus picks up at 3 or the dinner's at, it's all the same.
3 o'clock rehearsal.
You got to be ready to go. You know, a lot of people were scrambling in the showers. I was ready to go. I couldn't have left
here. Scrambling in the showers, yeah, because you were probably doing takes in the shower and you were delaying the shower line.
Well, we did run out of hot water in the house. I will not say it was because of me.
All righty. Good to see you. Thank you.
Likewise.
All righty. We'll get to the Pete Rose Hall of Fame topic next.